Good morning and welcome to the Sunday School lesson for Sunday, January 17, 2021. On behalf of all of us here at Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, 45 Church Street, Peterbilt Springs, Alabama, 36471. Our telephone number is 251-564-2171. The church where everybody is somebody and Christ is the head. On behalf of all of us here at our House of Unity Gospel Blog Talk Radio, we want to thank you. As we get ready to do the lesson for January the 17th, 2021, Reverend Waylon Olive is our pastor, Sister Joyce Olive is our First Lady, and Miss Lisa Starr is our clerk. We have Sunday school every Sunday since the pandemic has been with us. We have been broadcasting here on the radio station here located at 231 6th Avenue here in Beatrice, Alabama. We thank you all for being with us, and God bless you. Our worship service is on the 2nd, 4th, and 5th Sundays. We bring those services on the 2nd, 4th, and 5th Sundays at 8:30 in the morning, where musician Corey Robinson broadcasts our services. Well, Reverend Oliver is the pastor. We want to first go to prayer. Our Father and Savior, Jesus Christ, a merciful and kind Father, thank you for the conditions in which we are in now, and we know that you are always in the affairs of men. Death is in our midst again. Sister Hawthorne, a faithful member of the church, a supporter of the community, a person that helped the sick and was going all the time, worked at the Red Cross, Jesus. Thank you for her and our miss. We pray for the Antioch Church family and for her family. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Be with us and guide us, Jesus, in these hours as COVID-19 wreak havoc. But we know you're still in control and you still have all affairs of men in your hand. Be with us in regards to this government being torn and separated by racism and hatred and evil and people in regards to what's taking place in the world today. Be with us and guide us. We thank for Pastor Oliver and all the church members, the deacons. Pray for all those that are sick in our family, as well as those that are sick outside our family. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you. These are many blessings, Jesus. We ask in thy Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus and calls in his ministry. Lesson number 7, January 17, 2021. Our devotional reading going to come from Psalms 103, 1 through 14. Our background scriptures is Mark, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. Our print passage is Mark, the second chapter, 1 through 12. Our key verse for today: what is easy to say to the sick or the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. It comes from Mark, the second chapter, the 9th verse. Healing the whole person. Healing the whole person. Lesson name: as a result of experiencing this lesson, the participant should be able to do these things. Study Mark's account of Jesus healing the man who was paralyzed. Appreciate how one's physical, emotional, social, and spiritual needs are intertwined. Pray for God's healing, grace to touch them at their particular point of need. Crowd. Key terms for a crowd, multitude of common people: faith, conviction of the truth, belief, trust, confidence, fidelity, faithfulness. Forgive, to let go, leave alone, remit. Heart, the heart's mind, character, inner self, will, intentions, sinners. Sins, failure, fault, missing the mark. Word, embodying an idea, statement, and speech. All right. Why this lesson matters. The limitation of human existence makes genuine wholesomeness and an elusive goal. Where can we find true healing? By declaring a paralyzed man's sins forgiven and restoring his physical health. Jesus demonstrated that God had called him to heal infirmities of the soul as well as the body. The lesson in focus. We are usually eager to assist close friends who need our help. It is not usual for people to go out of their way to ensure that good friends receive what they need in critical moments. We draw from whatever resources are available to use to create the best outcome for those who need us. When we are unable to assist, we look beyond ourselves to find others' answers, resources, or ways to provide help. When people find themselves in overwhelming and seemingly hopeless situation, their most loyal friends stand by their side. The best friends of all, however, go to Jesus on behalf of those whom they love, knowing that he can meet every need, mind, body, and soul. Even when we give others all we have to offer them, there are limits to what we can do to address their greatest problems or to effect needed changes in their lives. Commit yourself to praying fervently for those you love, trusting that God sees and knows and loves them and will minister to them from the inside out. God sees what we cannot see. He can do what we cannot do. He ministers to every physical, emotional, social, and spiritual need that leaves people broken and incomplete. Powerful, powerful lesson focus into what God is doing. Healing the whole person. The lesson in context. The narrative in today's text highlights the ongoing tension and conflict between Jesus and the Jewish religious leader. Jesus drew large crowds. He healed the sick. He cast out devils. They could not compete with him on any level. Jesus' booming popularity among the people not only made Pharisees suspicious and envious of him, but also provoked them to seek reasons to discredit him, whether legitimate or not. The scribes and the other leaders complained among themselves and openly challenged Jesus in public settings, hoping to diminish his authoritative influence with the people. Jesus used miracles to authenticate his teaching and give proof of his divine authority. Take a look at Mark, the first chapter, and the 22nd verse, Mark the 27th, and second chapter and 10th verse. The paralytic whose friend brought him to Jesus was blessed by Jesus' healing power and his authority to forgive sin. Jesus is not concerned with outward appearance. You can see that in 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, the 7th verse. His priority has always been to address the deeper needs of the whole person, to feed the body, to heal affliction, to cleanse the spirit, to mend the brokenhearted, and to free from oppression. God's desire is to make us whole. The gospel writers from say that people were amazed by Jesus' miracles. You can see that in Matthew, the 12th chapter, and the 23rd verse, Mark, the 2nd chapter, and the 12th verse, the 5th chapter, and the 20th verse, the 6th chapter, and the 51st verse. The miracles compel people to think deeply about who Jesus is, to grasp a clearer understanding of his unlimited wisdom and spiritual power. The paralytic, the person that was paralyzed in the text, overcame at least two barriers in his effort to get to Jesus, the crowd and the roof. See Mark, the 2nd chapter, and the 2nd through the 4th verse. Remember, there was a person that was sick, and they took him up on the top of the roof, dug a hole, and let him down in there where Jesus was. Now, look at the determination of those people to get help for their friend. Are you that determined to help your friend? Are you that determined? What are some of the common barriers, hindrances, or distractors that easily block people from getting to Jesus? These people, these friends that let that man down through the roof, oh, imagine getting up on top of the roof, digging a hole in the roof, and dropping him down. Oh, what a determination. Are you that determined? Have you experienced a dramatic change or had an exceptional encounter with God in your personal life? How has Jesus made you whole? Share briefly with the class. For many, healthy living is associated with diet and exercise and rest. In light of this week's lesson, how would you define being healthy? All right, let's look at insights. Even if the people in your life are saved, they still need Jesus. Consider some meaningful ways that you can help those you love to have a deeper experience of the love and power of God. Believers and unbelievers alike often struggle with sickness, despair, loneliness, failure, financial setback, disappointment, and emotional hurts. Jesus longed to meet the needs of hurting people. How can God use you to make a difference in the lives of people who need ministry at many different lives of people who need ministry at many other levels? At many levels. Read Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 35 through 40. True spirituality, the kind the Lord expects of us, involves a focus on the needs of the whole person. This is the ministry to which God has called every believer, touching and transforming lives from the inside out. From the inside out. Healing the whole person. Jesus calls as a ministry. He's calling you today. Are you able to come? He's calling you right now. Are you able to go? As Christians, this is an exploration. As Christians, we recognize and proclaim Jesus as the great physician. As the great physician, Jesus is the source of mental, physical, spiritual healing. Jesus does more than save our souls from sin. We rejoice in salvation, for that is his greatest gift to us. Our salvation came down through 42 generations, and he sits at the right hand of the Father and waiting to hear you call on him and pray. We rejoice in salvation, for that is the greatest gift to us. What else has the Lord done for you? The miraculous encounters we read about in Scripture confirm Jesus' divine authority and reveals that he is more than a Savior and more than ever imagining him to be. More than you even imagine him to be. He is available to meet every one of our needs. Let's start with the commentary. This is in Mark, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 4. All right, get your Bibles. We hope you had them already. Or your Sunday school book, and follow along with us, please. And again he entered the Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. Oh, what a rumor, what a clamor. You can hear the excitement of him being in the house, okay? And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there were no room to receive them, not so much as about the door. He preached the word unto them. As they say round here, the place was packed. How about that? And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him from the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and had broken it up. Then they let down the bed wherein the sick got a palsy lay. What determination. We discussed that briefly in our opening remark. Are you so concerned for a friend that you will go to that distance to get him into the presence of God so that he or she may be healed? How about that? Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowering the man was laying on. Look at that. Awesome, awesome determination. The return to the Capernaum marked the completion of Jesus' first tour of Galilee. The text is silent, and it is not important to know who owned the house where Jesus ministered to the crowd. Regardless who owned the house, the important detail is that Jesus was in the house. The press, verse 4, is simply an archaic word for a crowd. Ancient flat-roofed house usually had a stairway to allow roof access without difficulty. When the paralytic and his determined friends were prevented by the crowd from getting close to Jesus, they ascended to the roof. To uncover the roof likely meant digging through some combination of grass, plaster, tile, wood to penetrate the mud-like mixture that likely filled the gaps between the roof or beams. Imagine the eruption in the room as debris and drift fell from the ceiling of those who were intentionally listening to Jesus Christ as he ministered that day. Can you imagine that? Just picture it, picture it. You're in a building and it's all crowded, folks all around, and debris and trash is falling from the roof ceiling up above you, people had to clear that area, you know? They had to clear that area so that it could fall down and not nobody get hurt. Awesome picture. Awesome picture. Just imagine it. Determination of those people. The man described as having palsy, a term best understood as a form of paralytic, being paralyzed. Being impaired to such an extent left an individual unable to work and to provide for existence to himself in any way. Paralytics and lame persons in that day rested in beds, a mat, a pillar, or pallet, upon which people laid or rested while begging for resources to make ends meet. It is easy to appreciate the man's desperate determination to get to Jesus and to, on that friend's behalf. Awesome. Awesome indeed. Awesome indeed. What are you willing to do? What are you willing to do to get your friend to Jesus? What are you willing to do? How far have you ever gone to help a friend in crisis? What hinders them from coming into the presence of Jesus? Now, I want to say this in regards to this present day in which we live, and COVID is here and everywhere. And I want to give a shout out to us at Antioch and those that are in churches about and that know of people. I want to single out Miss Mary Hawthorne. She went to exorbitant measures to get help for people and to help those that were sick, and how she went in their homes and stuff like that and put herself in risk of COVID-19 and the illness. And she suffered a stroke and was ill and had problems, but she kept going anyway as long as she could go. Are you that type of person? Are you that type of person? You know that for yourself, what type of person you are. Let's go to the next outline. This is Mark, the 2nd chapter, the 5th through the 8th verse. When Jesus saw their faith, look at that, faith. Faith. You can't serve Jesus and be a part of God's plan, what's taking place. And being a Christian without faith. You can't serve Jesus without faith. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Just by the faith of his friends. You see that? Did you see that it transcends all of the in-betweens just based on you yourself having faith? And the person that you have in faith for. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their heart. Oh, look at the scribes. Why does this man thus speak blasphemously? Who can forgive sins but God only? They did not realize that they were talking to God. God the Father. Jesus the Son, the Son, Jesus the Son. And when he left the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, which is here with us now. Why does this man speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your heart? Jesus knows everything. He knows absolutely everything, your every thought, your every being. Again, immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their heart. And he said to them, Why are you thinking these things? Jesus looked upon the man and immediately discerned the urgency of their needs, the desperate nature of their situation, their bold determination, their tremendous faith. I reiterate, tremendous faith. Remember the size of a mustard seed, faith of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. Those mountains come in all sizes. One of those mountains was getting on the roof, digging a hole in the roof, and letting the man who was paralyzed down into the presence of God. Their bold determination and their tremendous faith, they spoke no words, yet Jesus discerned their plea. In contrast to the men's striking display of faith is the faithlessness disposition of the religious leader. Ooh, how about that? Faithless. Are you a person in a religious position and do not have faith? How about that? Do you fit into that category? Huh? They are in the same room, but they are not in the same frame of mind. Look at that. Look at what's happening in the world today. Look what's happening in Washington. Look at those men and women that gathered and forced themselves into the Capitol building, the Washington. What's the difference between those that did not break into the building and do harm and take lives and those that was in that crowd that didn't do that? You can be in the same building, but not the same mind. You can be in the same church, but not the same mind. Many who gather were full of faith. You can see that in Mark, the 5th chapter, 34th and 36th verse. Mark, the 9th chapter, 23rd through 34th verse. The 10th chapter, the 52nd. But the scribes were blinded by their envy and contempt for Jesus. Are you blinded for your envy and contempt of church leaders, the pastor, the first lady, other deacons? What about it? What are you doing in your community to help others? Are you going and being safe? What are you doing? Are you gathering places where there's COVID disease and plagues? Are you being hard-headed? Folks tell you not to do this, not to do that. Don't go here. Don't do this, do that. Are you being obedient and being safe and following God? On this basis, the scribes considered Jesus' words of forgiveness to be blasphemy. Look at that. They could not accept or celebrate Jesus' miracles because they had rejected his the deity of Christ. The deity of Christ at the time was Jesus' God's Son. God the Father, Jesus' Son. Remember when he got baptized, John the Baptist baptized, God said, "This is my Son." Remember how the dove descended from heaven and sat on him, the Holy Spirit sat on him? Powerful. They failed to understand who he was. And some of his disciples did not understand who he was at the time. His deity of Christ described the objection of Jesus saying that the only God can forgive sins. Exodus 34, 6 and 7. Isaiah 43 and 35. The 44th verse of Isaiah, 44th chapter of Isaiah and 22. They failed to realize that Jesus is fully divine. He is the one with God the Father. He is one with God the Father, the physical manifestation of the invisible God. Jesus spoke to the paralyzed man, calling him son, affirming his worth and accepting among the faithful. In a moment, Jesus spoke life-changing words and thereby did give the man what only God could do. Only what God could do. When you are present for worship at church, what is on your mind? How can you focus your thoughts strictly on worship and the world? How many of you sat in church service and had your mind on the television, on the ball game, on the going to the park, on the going to get something to eat, and all of your mind focused everywhere else except on the words that is coming from the minister or the teacher at that time? What was the point of Jesus asking the question in verse 9? How would you have answered it? Let's look back at verse 9 right quick. Let's look at verse 9 right quick, okay? We are headed there right now. Here we go. This is Mark, the second chapter, 9 through the 12th verse. Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," or to say, "Arise and take up that bed and walk." Which one's easier, huh? Which one is easier? I would say it's based on your faith. Which one's easier? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Get up, take your bed and walk"? Powerful, isn't it? Let's look at verse 10. "But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin," he said to the sick of the palsy. "I say unto thee, arise, take up that bed, and go thy way into thine house." And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion. We never saw it on this fashion." Look at that. He got up, took his mat, walked out in the full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The healing of the paralyzed man was proof of the Lord's power to forgive the sins and evidence of his deity here on earth. Jesus demonstrated before the people that he was more than a healer. He was more than a great teacher. He was more than they expected image him, they imagined him to be. He was God. Jesus' interaction with the paralyzed man revealed his authority to forgive sins and the life-changing power of his spoken words. Verse 12 records that Jesus' words, the paralyzed man rose immediately. Immediately. That's not later. That's not sometime in the next week, sometime in an hour, of 2 or 3 minutes later. That boom, right now. Right then. Boom, just that quick. Immediately the man was completely visible healed. Without human assistance, the man who had been carried in got up, picked up his belongings, and walked out of the house. Who is in their right mind could doubt the power of Jesus that day? Guess who they were? The Pharisees, the leaders of the existing church at the time. How about you? How about you? Do you doubt the powers of Jesus Christ? Who is in their right mind could doubt the power of Jesus that day? The miracle astonished all who witnessed it. The original text literally indicates that the crowd was beside itself with awe and amazement. The verb used is existent, which means to remove out of place or to drive one out of one's senses. In other words, they had an out of control, out of their mind, crazy praise for what God had done. Not for them, but for someone there. Look at that. Powerful, isn't it? Awesome. Woo. Can you recall and share with the class a personal experience of healing, mental, social, emotional, physical, or spiritual? Testify to the others can praise God for what he has done for you. Can you testify to what God has done for you? Can you speak of the power of Jesus Christ in your life and when you're asking how God answered you? What has he done for you? What has he done for you? There is a life-changing experience and miracle in your life that has occurred. Think about you. Perhaps you were ladies that had a difficult pregnancy and you came through outstanding. Perhaps there was some situation with you financially, men. Perhaps there was some kind of way of transportation, lack of transportation, and God somehow miraculously. Perhaps you were out on the road and something happened and you were miraculously not killed or lost your life. God has done something for you. Remember those things. Share those things with others. Guess what? They may be shouting and happy just for you. It didn't happen to them, but it happened to you. Just like the people were amazed at what God had did for the paralyzed man, where his friends let him down through the roof. And for God to act on their person that was sick, paralyzed, through the faith of those that carried him, through the faith of those that cared for them. How about that? How about it? There is a collective nature of faith working here. In what ways can Christians work together to support, encourage one another, and to grow together in faith? What an awesome example. Powerful indeed. What an awesome example of God's power. We thank you all for joining us today for the lesson. The lesson topic for Sunday, January 24, 2021 is Standing in the Gap. Who will stand in the gap for you? Will you stand in the gap? Will you stand in the gap? Will you stand in the gap for others? Have you already stood in the gap? Are you standing in the gap for somebody right now? Standing in the gap. Devotional reading is going to come from 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 7. The background scripture is going to come from the printed text, and they are John, the 17th chapter, 14 through 24 verse. We thank you all. We thank you for all of the situations that you're going through. God is still in control. I don't care what is taking place. God is in the affairs of men. God is with the people that are in Washington. God are with the people that are in the nurses' home, all across this country and all of its members of this church. Let us continue to pray and do what is right. In spite of our iniquity, keep getting up and going. You fall down and you get back up. You keep fighting. You keep reaching. You keep your eyes on the prize. prize, which is eternal life with Jesus Christ in heaven. You keep reaching up toward God. You keep reaching, holding on to the bar. You may fall down, but get back up again. Keep getting back up. Let us close with closing prayer. Lord, we praise you because you are our healer. No matter the timing, the place, the method, or the means, we know that you are Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals us. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God be with us. Be with us in this church, Jesus, as we continue to tour. Lord Jesus, in spite of my own iniquity, thank you for giving me the opportunity and the resources to broadcast this Sunday school every Sunday from this radio station here in our home. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks for Pastor Oliver and Sister Oliver, and the deacons and all the members of the church. All of you that do not realize what's going on and what's in trouble and how trouble is on every hand. The COVID-19 and all of the situations in Monroe County and all the other places around us. Keep your faith. Keep your faith. Keep your hands in Jesus' hand. God is still in control. Do not take your eyes off the prize. Thank you. On behalf of all of us here at Antioch Baptist Church. Don't forget now the weekly readings for you. Monday, January the 18th. Prayers for Peter in prison. That's going to come from Acts, the 12th chapter, verses 5 through 11. Then on Tuesday, January the 19th, pray for a successful ministry. That's going to come from Romans, the 15th chapter, the 22nd through 33rd verse. Then on Wednesday, January the 20th, pray for inner strength and power. Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, 14th and 21st verse. Then on Thursday, January the 21st, pray the prayer of our Lord. Matthew 6, chapter 7 through 13. January the 22nd, which will be Friday, pray for your answers. Pray for your abusers, I'm sorry. Pray for your abusers. All right, that come from Luke, the 6th chapter, 22nd through 33rd verse. Then on Saturday, January the 23rd, pray to avoid trials. We all go through trials and tribulation. That comes from Luke, the 22nd chapter, 39 to 46 verse. Then on Sunday, January the 24th, Jesus prays for his disciples. Now, January the 24th, that will be, I believe, the fourth Sunday. The fourth Sunday in the month. Yes, that will be, yes, the fourth Sunday, first and second, the fourth Sunday in the month. And make sure that you make yourselves available, God willing, weather condition committing, that you come and witness the services there at Antioch Baptist Church with Reverend William Oswald, will bring the word, God willing. Pray for the pastor, pray for the families, pray for all that are in need of prayer. Pray for everybody that is in need. There's one thing about what's taking place in the world. Long as you are living, you have an opportunity. If you fall, get back up. If you overcome in a situation of sin, keep your eyes, keep focusing on Jesus Christ. Again, we thank you all for listening, and God willing, be here with us for next Sunday's lesson, next Sunday school lesson, which will be Sunday, January the 24th, Standing in the Gap. Standing in the Gap. On behalf of all of us here at Antioch Baptist Church, thank you and God bless.